I think the most important thing to get from a welcome sequence, possibly more important than the actual dollar sign, is the data and understanding who our people are that are coming into a funnel. Because yes, who buys is very important information to get, but it's also important to know who's not buying so that we know where to put our marketing money in the future.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. Might be email, might be SEO, might be something else. And in each episode, where we release a new one every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. Would you like to be a podcast star? Today's podcast star is a star because she pitched us this awesome topic. She applied to be on the show and I went, yeah, I want to talk about that. So if you've got a marketing tactic or strategy you would love to share with the Keep Optimizing audience, please to put your hat in the ring at keepopt.com/guest. Upcoming topics include SEO, tips for Q4, TikTok and more. Okay, at the moment, we are picking up the email and SMS thread again. We are spending five episodes exploring the latest advice on making your email marketing and SMS really deliver for you. Last episode, in fact, we did pop-ups and email capture. So it's only right that in this episode, we get into welcome campaigns and what you're going to send them after you've got that data. So in this episode, I've got an absolute expert at crafting brilliant welcome campaigns that drive sales and bring you the learnings you need. We are talking about post-email sign-up pre-purchase campaigns. I know some people occasionally call the post-purchase campaign a welcome campaign. We don't here. We're not in this episode. We are all about converting sign-ups to sales. So stay tuned to learn all about doing that. And make sure you listen right to the end of the episode because you do not want to miss Samantha's quickfire insider tips to help you maximize your email marketing performance, my take on it all, and then some other free ways we can help you even more. So stay tuned to the end.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
In this episode, I'm chatting with email and SMS expert Samantha Burmeister. Samantha is a star copywriter at Nomad Copy Agency, helping turn dozens of her clients into millionaires via 6- and 7-figure launches. Hello, Samantha.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Great to have you on the show. I love a good bit of chat about welcome sequences. Might be my favourite part of email. So very cool to have you here. First off, though, how did you end up in the wonderful world of email and SMS?
Ooh, so I started my career in sales. I went into finance sales, tech hardware, tech software, and ultimately tech research. So I was a tech bro at one point, and sales directly has to do with email and marketing. At the same time as I was in sales, I had a travel blog. I'm officially a failed travel blogger, but I was able to, after I decided to leave that career, marry my writing experience with my sales experience and plug in and help people sell more using words on the internet. And here I am.
It is mad how many people kind of don't think like a salesperson when they're constructing such critical sales emails. It's kind of weird. It's like, oh, we'll slap the products in and that's fine. So, no, there's so much more to a strong email like that than that.
Right. So much more. And I think that like a lot of that comes from selling the what and not the why, which is really interesting in e-commerce because people do need to know what it is. But we know, if you've ever read a book about sales, that every buying decision is an emotional one. So we do need to think about sales and sales psychology regardless of what we're selling.
Very much so. So you pitched us this brilliant topic about welcome sequences. So where does a great welcome campaign start? Where do we start building one that's going to sell really well for us?
Well, the welcome sequence emails start well before the emails. They start with an opt-in page. And I say an opt-in page, but that can be a pop-up opt-in, that can be a space on a sales page, that can be a discount code, you know, anywhere that they're opting in. It doesn't have to specifically be a dedicated page. I tend to just say an opt-in page, but it starts before the emails. And with anything in marketing and sales, it's good to know where we're pointing to. So we're kind of starting with the end in mind.
So what sort of end should we be putting in place? What's a reasonable goal for a good welcome campaign? Is it to get X percentage buying? Is it to drive them to buy one particular product? What sort of numbers or what some sort of types of targets should we be going for?
You know, as a copywriter, I think that some of my colleagues would disagree, but I think the most important thing to get from a welcome sequence, possibly more important than the actual dollar sign, is the data. And understanding who our people are that are coming into a funnel. Because yes, who buys is very important information to get, but it's also important to know who's not buying so that we know where to put our marketing money in the future, whether that's into ads, specific demographics, product placement, et cetera. So I think the ultimate goal with a welcome sequence is probably the data. After that is going to be the dollar sign.
Very cool. I like that focus. So when you talk about the data, are you meaning we're going to ask them a whole load of questions, or is this more tracking what they respond to, what they click on and that kind of thing? Or is it a mix?
Technically a mix, but I would say more so the latter, the data of where they're coming from. I'm going to use an example. I recently bought a pair of shoes for the gym, and that company knows that I came in through a Facebook ad. Not only that, but they probably have some data on where I was when I clicked on that ad, as far as what country. They probably don't know that I was like at the gym or at home or what have you when I was clicking on that ad, but they can then make assumptions about if they're getting a bunch of people who are clicking on this ad at a certain time of day in a certain location. They can then pull information. So it's less about people self-selecting and answering a boatload of questions and more about what information can they receive and then what do they get to learn after that as far as what emails am I opening? What emails am I clicking on? What time of day am I clicking on those emails? Am I clicking on in-text links? Am I clicking on images? Is it buttons? What does that look like? So that as I continue to target those people in the future, I know that I need to put buttons in emails instead of links or you know, whatever to use that data to make more sales long term after the welcome sequence.
And are you using that data to optimize the content that you're creating and the emails that you're putting together? Or are you using it to segment? You know, would you ever have like a split in your welcome campaign of those who like buttons and those who like text links? Or is that going too granular?
So it probably wouldn't be who likes buttons and who likes links, but it might be that if we understand women are buying shoes and men are buying sweatshirts, then that might be where we segment in a list.
Got you. So you take a level of I was going to say, you can take a level of knowledge into working out which bits you use to segment and which bits you use to learn from, which I guess is quite an annoying sentence for anybody listening. But it's think about what's practical and what makes sense. And presume one would imagine logically you're going to make more impact if you're putting the right products in front of them. That's worth the effort of creating two sets of flows than a completely identical duplication, one with buttons, one with text links.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So it will inform how we write the copy, and that it's natural that perhaps all buttons or all emails need to have buttons and not links, or all emails need to have images or three images, or, you know, what have you. But as far as the segmenting goes, I wouldn't typically segment based on just the copy as much as the demographic, psychographic, and like buyer behavior.
Got you. So I feel like we've kind of gone quite granular there, but we were originally talking about how we get the data in the first place. So we've got a great landing page, which might be a pop-up, might be a link on a sales page, might be something. Where do we go next once we've got the way that data is being collected? Good.
We then send them the first email, and it's typically something that they've asked for by opting in. So did they say, again, using the gym shoes, they get 2-for-1 if they buy before 6 p.m. And so here's the coupon code to get 2-for-1, or, you know, whatever it is that they asked for, a discount, a super special list that they're now on, something like that. So then they go to that first email, and we always want to have them take action in that first email. I will give the caveat as well that with GDPR regulations, there might be another email in there or a box that they have to click on the first page that says, I understand I'm going to be receiving emails. But as far as the sales emails go, we want people to then take action. Ideally, this is the part where they buy something.
So you like to go straight in and aim to get that sale on the very first one, and that can be the big action that they take. Now, if they take that, do they exit your welcome campaign? Because, you know, we talked about all the learning you're trying to get in that welcome campaign, or do they stay in there even if they've bought from the very first one?
So this is going to come down to data and the company, and I hate giving that lawyer answer, right, of it depends, but it really does depend. In general, this is where I would opt them out, because now they've converted, and so they would go into some sort of conversion sequence. This is where we take other data that we've realized through sales data that might say, okay, she bought the shoes, now she needs shorts, or it's more or less the version of people who bought this also bought. So they would go into a different sequence. And then there's also the opportunity here for an abandoned cart. So there's kind of three things that happens. They click and they buy, they click and they don't buy, they don't click at all. It's click and buy, they go into another sequence. They click and they don't buy. This is an opportunity for a retargeting. It's very contingent on what the reason was that they opted in the first place. So if they opted in and said, you'll get 15% off of your total purchase, we can't just keep stacking discounts and devaluing a brand, but there's an opportunity here for a bonus or free shipping or something that goes into that. But a retargeting, an abandoned cart, and then the click and they don't buy, then they definitely stay in the sequence.
Got you. And then how long might they be in that? I mean, I feel like I'm asking you a million questions that all have to be answered with it depends, but bear with me.
Yeah.
So Samantha, hopefully we've got them to buy. Some of them haven't bought, so they're still in our welcome campaign. Where do we take them next? How do we do our best to learn from them over the next sequence of emails? And how do we do our best to convert them to sell, to buy even as well?
Yeah. It's keeping it conversational. Something that I really see as a trend, and we're starting to get data that's coming from this as well, is that buying behaviors they're constantly changing. But especially in the US right now, things are feeling very uncertain. And so we are seeing fewer people purchasing less. So the more personalized, the more conversational, the more targeted that we can be, the more that it feels like a real interaction, the higher sales that we're seeing. So more personal equals more money in our pockets as sellers. Then we look at segmenting. We look at what do we assume that we know about people based on previous people's buying behaviors. Now, if we're newbies and we don't know, then we get to make assumptions. We say, okay, maybe we need to put this, if they came in on a 15% off, we need to put that coupon code in front of them one more time. Perhaps manufacture some urgency. This coupon code expires at midnight. Don't miss out. Then from there, we might realize either they opted in because they wanted 15% off and they still realize they didn't have the $100 for this pair of gym shoes. I'm really hung up on the gym shoes, but I'm very excited about my new pair of gym shoes. It's a good, it's a good example. We all have to wear shoes. But then we realize, okay, maybe they didn't want them that much. Maybe they don't need the shoes right now. Maybe they were doing it just to get on our list. Maybe they don't want white shoes, but they were opting in to see when the black shoes came out. So then it's positioning, like, which one is better, our black shoes or our white shoes? Maybe you didn't need the high tops, you want the low tops. So we're potentially then creating this liaison between, here's what you said you wanted. We're looking at shoes at 15% off. Maybe we need a different kind of shoe. So we liaise to this other kind of shoe, or we take data that we knew before that most people who are buying the shoes are also buying the shorts. So we say, you can actually get this package, and we show them a dollar sign that says at 15% off of both of these things, you're saving $30, and positioning it that way. So as we take them through the welcome sequence, we're still positioning what we think they need or what we understand that previous buyers have also done.
I love the way you explain that. And I think getting a welcome campaign right is one of the hardest things to do, because there is, you know, if you got the team together and worked out everything you thought someone needed to know in the first 3 weeks of doing business with your company, the list would be insane. And the list of things you can test would be insane. The list of data you can gather is insane. So do you, when you're building out one of these for somebody, do you start with a massive plan of what you want to build and what you think based on their data will work? Or do you kind of build one email, see what happens, then build the next one and kind of build it out just ahead of the people running down the hill, if that makes sense?
The building it before the people running down the hill is a rare occurrence, only because typically we understand as a company where we want to lead people. So to do that, we have to understand what are the other things that we want to position as well as what other people are going to want. So for example, if the business is a B Corp or has some sort of like really social, like really great social mission, then we might say, instead of an email that's dedicated to saying, hi, we're a really awesome corporation that you should work with, here's our founder's story. Maybe then tie that in of saying, here's a picture of our founder wearing these shoes while volunteering with children. And you know, this is something that our business stands for. Get the special edition volunteer shoe here. So we're still positioning the product as the core, but starting to tell that story as well. I say that because we're not usually then chasing the sale. We're putting this together so that we know where we want it to go. And then we can look back at this cohesively and say, this is where we were right and this is where we were wrong. Nobody clicked through on the founder's story, but everybody clicked through on the comparison between the black shoes and the white shoes. So what they're really looking for is X and Y. And then we can follow that when we redo the sequence later. So then it starts to feel a bit like you're chasing something, but that's where we're switching out puzzle pieces rather than redoing the full 1,000-piece set all at the same time.
Got you. And I love that idea of going, well, yeah, we need to share our story, but we tie it to product. So in your example with the running shoes company, we're not going to do the founder working at a soup kitchen for the week because there's no link to shoes there, but we will do him being part of the kids' sports day or something, or the, you know, the shoes that have been donated to X or something, and then tie it into the exact same shoes. I think that's something which a lot of us, me included, can make the error of just, yeah, this is a great story, but it doesn't speak to the product at all. And you need to be putting the product, as you say, in front of everybody so much in those initial stages. What have we missed that's a key tip for building out a good welcome campaign?
When building out a good welcome campaign, what we too often miss is the transformation. We're often ending the story at the purchase And people don't wake up saying, you know what I need is another pair of shoes. I need another thing. I'm so excited to pay shipping and handling today. That's not it. We go all the way back to, like, you know, Maslow's hierarchy, which I think I read recently is no longer relevant. But we think about what people want is that this self-actualization, food, water, shelter, what are people accomplishing? What are they receiving as a result of buying from you? So especially in e-commerce, it's totally normal. It's okay to say buy now, purchase now, see the tech specs, whatever it might be. But we also have to understand in our messaging throughout is, what is the story that we're telling? I didn't buy a pair of gym shoes. I became more fit when I bought those shoes. I was going to be like the woman in the ad. I was going to have the great bouncy, flancy ponytail and look great when doing squats. That's what I was buying. That was the emotional decision that I made when buying those. So when we understand that we're not just selling shoes, we're selling a story, I think that's what's missing. And I think there's a way that the pendulum swings way too far and that then we're just selling the story. So it's understanding that the sale isn't the goal for the reader. The outcome is the goal for the reader.
And at what point do you give up on the reader reaching the outcome and call it quits on the welcome campaign? Because I mean, I know all of us listening have signed up to emails fully intending to buy and 2 years later still haven't bought. And a welcome campaign that lasts for 2 years is probably excessive. So, definitely excessive. So at what point do you end the welcome campaign and kind of just pass them over to newsletterdom?
Mm-hmm. This comes from understanding a typical sales cycle. So if you are selling dome tents, I know this is wildly specific, but this is a client that I worked for recently. He sells dome tents to people who are creating glamping experiences. So it's e-commerce. He launches at specific times because of the way that his relationships with his vendors are, and also so that he can target North American springtime. So he's selling in February, he's delivering in late March, and they have their glamping business up and running by summer. His welcome sequence and the way that he's had to keep people on the edge of their seats since last summer when they were first opting in to his sequence is very different from me buying a $100 pair of shoes. That is a $15,000 to $20,000 tent. This is $100, easy to throw on the credit card and not worry too much about. There's no payment plans, et cetera. So again, with the it depends, but the like more in-depth answer to it depends is, how long is the sales cycle? A week from now, am I already going to have forgotten about the shoes or purchased the shoes, known what I want? Are we approaching the holidays where I might have been on this site because my friend sent me the shoes and that's what I want to get her for Christmas? So now I'm waiting around for a Black Friday deal. But typically for something that's relatively low ticket, we're not looking at more than a couple of weeks, or there's a crossover where after a few days, they typically maybe about a week, 10 days, they end up in newsletterdom, but there are still a sprinkling of additional emails later on of, you've been in the newsletter, but then they hit you again with those white shoes that you were looking at a month ago. And then maybe one more time, 2 months later. It's not black and white. You can still be in the welcome sequence and get handed over to the newsletter simultaneously.
Got you. Love that answer. Love the tent example. That's so makes sense that you would almost have a seasonal welcome campaign based on when the key buying periods are coming in, which then of course makes sense with Black Friday and gifts and all of that. Samantha, thank you for all of that. It's been great picking your brains about welcome sequences. Listeners, make sure you stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Samantha's insider tips on email and SMS and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Have you yet downloaded the 500 Top Tips to Make Your E-commerce Business More Profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. Okay, Samantha, so far we've gone deep into the welcome campaign. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of email marketing, SMS copywriting and beyond. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with that, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Samantha, are you ready?
I'm very ready. Let's do it.
Awesome. Let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Before you write anything, understand what the transformation is that people are looking for when they get to you. So we understand what their problems are is typically very, very newbie beginner language. They need shoes, right? The problem, what is the problem that we're solving? What is the solution that we offer? Shoes, but what is the transformation? It's going to look very different if I'm buying Converse versus if I'm buying Manolo Blahniks, right? So what is the transformation that I'm looking for? Am I looking to be able to play basketball or walk on the red carpet? That's the vibe. That is the transformation that we want to have in mind every single time we write something.
Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Is it when I keep taking steps forward and taking steps back. So if the very first step is creating the transformation, then you set out to write, is not to ask rhetorical questions. So often it's, do you want to look hot on the red carpet? Do you want to seem like the most authoritative person in the room? We're asking these endless questions. We're absolutely not doing that. People are coming to us to be the authority. They are looking for our own self-assuredness. And by putting these rhetorical questions out there, it not only diminishes our authority, it puts people on the defense because it is giving them this decision fatigue, which we absolutely don't want to do. So we find the transformation and then we absolutely eradicate any sort of rhetorical question from anywhere in our welcome sequence.
I love that. And like, I'd never thought of those questions creating decision fatigue, but of course they do, because it's yet another thing you have to decide about. Love that one. Okay. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you can recommend?
Absolutely. I have created actually an opt-in copy bot. It's a GPT and we will put the link in the show notes, but it's at nomadcopyagency.com/keep, K-E-E-P. And what it does, you click the button when you first arrive there and you tell them all about what it is that you're offering and it will help you create that opt-in page. This is specifically for if you're creating a full dedicated page to opt-in, but you can always pull that information for anything else if it's on page or a pop-up, something like that. I think that is a really great place to start. The other one is a book that I have just, any copywriter will probably tell you that it is a core reading is story brand, is understanding the story that your brand tells is the other one.
Very cool. Two top recommendations there. Finally, then, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Hyper-personalization. We are seeing people absolutely deny things that don't feel like they are very specifically for them. So everybody wants to feel special. And in the next 6 to 12 months, if we can collect people's names when they opt in rather than just their email address, to be able to say their name, to recall and use that data to come back to, we know that you were looking at these white shoes back at Christmas time. Now is the time to actually make good on your resolutions. This is what you should purchase now. So using current events, using their name, using their data to highly target them or to be predictive. I go to a place, I'll give you an example. I go to a place for my oil change. They always send me a coupon about 2 weeks before I know I'm going to need my next oil change because they know how often other people with the same model of Toyota are getting in my area are getting oil changes, and they can target me in that way. And it feels like so silly, but warm and fuzzy to me to receive that. So in the next 6 to 12 months, the more personalized we can get, the better. And what we can do now is start collecting data.
Nice. Love that example too. Samantha, thank you so much for all of that. We are very nearly at the end of the show though, so the audience need to know where they can find you and your business. What do you do and where can they get in contact?
Absolutely. I write really great copy. So if you would like to work with me, you can find me at nomadcopyagency.com. If you're on LinkedIn, you can find me at Samantha Burmeister. And I know it's hard to spell, so we'll make sure that's in the show notes. And if you're an Instagram scroller, I'm on Instagram at nomad.copy.
Straightforward as that, everybody. Go and get in contact with Samantha. Samantha, thank you so much for being on at the Keep Optimizing podcast. It's been awesome chatting about welcome campaigns with you. And thank you for bearing with all my it depends questions.
thank you thanks. For bearing with my it depends answers.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Take care. Thank you.
I do like a good chat about welcome campaigns. Loads of good insights there from Samantha on, you know, that all important point about starting with the capture. How are you, what messaging are you giving there? Then deliver on that promise and then have those kind of dual objectives of getting the sale and learning more so you can optimize your email even better. Loved her thoughts and examples there. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right page. When you get to the website, you can add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the things we share to help you improve your business. And if you do that, please do not judge me on our current welcome campaign. I know it needs work. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed it, well, go and check out our other email marketing episodes. Just scroll a little bit up this up your feed right now and you'll find two more from our most recent current series. Or head to all our email and SMS content by going to keepopt.com/email, where you'll find that all those episodes pulled together on the website for you. And finally, please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many marketers as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Have you yet downloaded the 500 Top Tips to Make Your E-Commerce Business More Profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook.